Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we'll talk with our web producer, Lee Hill, who's been following your comments on the web and from the Tell Me More call-in line. But first, it's time for our weekly shape-up at the barbershop, where the guys talk about the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, blogger and writer Michael David Cobb Bowen, and Congressman Keith Ellison, a Democrat who represents Minnesota's 5th District. We already heard from barbershop regular Ruben Navarrete earlier today, so he's already had his shape up. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Michelle. Hey, fellas. Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
How you doing?
This is great.
Oh, man, tell me about it. You know what? Super Tuesday is come and gone with more questions and answers for some people. You know, Hillary Clinton and John McClain came out winners. You know, Kobsky. But Kane's got his mojo working.
Oh,
is he
I'm
a
shoo-in
for the GOP nomination? And he must be kind of breathing easy now that Mitt Romney is dropping out of the race.
It's good. It's a celebration for all of us moderate conservatives who've been having to stand in the wings for a while. And McCain is going to come through. And a lot of people are saying, well, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for him. But those are the activist conservatives. But, you know, a vote is a vote, and we'll take them all.
Hey, you know what? You guys want to hear Mitt Romney? He stopped short of actually endorsing McCain when he dropped out at his speech yesterday. He was talking at the, Conservative Political Action Committee?
Yeah.
Let's just play a short clip from that. You want to hear it?
Sure.
All right, here it is.
Now, if I fight on in my campaign all the way to the convention, I'd forestall the launch of a national campaign. And frankly, I'd be making it easier for Senator Clinton or Obama to win. Frankly, in this time of war, I simply cannot let my campaign be a part of aiding a surrender to terror.
Oh, ouch. Snap.
Yikes. Holy mackerel, Andy.
Man.
Congressman, what do you think about that? You're an Obama supporter. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's fear-based politics. It's the kind of politics that says that you know, we should be afraid as Americans. That's one reason I'm an Obama supporter, because he has a courageous and brave view of the world. He's confident in America's ability to do good things around the world. He doesn't have this fearful sort of approach where we have to put all our budget into the military, not make friends around the world, in fact, create enemies around the world. And I'm glad that he's out of the race.
Why?
Because I think that Americans are essentially courageous, confident, optimistic people, and he is the opposite of that. Obama has gotten the tremendous outpouring of support. Hey, 2-1 in Minnesota, by the way, because, you know, he really is projecting hope, inclusion, and, you know, we got folks of all colors, all backgrounds, all cultures, all flocking to this idea that America can be better than it is. And Romney is on the opposite end of the scale, so good riddance.
Well, that's awfully statesmanlike. But Arsalan, I was just kind of wondering, wouldn't you rather he stayed in so he could wear it down? You're also an Obama supporter. Wouldn't you rather he stayed in so he can wear down the opposition?
From a political strategic vantage point, you know, that would have been beneficial to the Democrats, because it seems like we're going to have a horse race. I mean, it is a dead heat.
What I'm curious about, Michael, is you're a McCain supporter, but the people, a lot of the Republicans who say, you know, he's having trouble with these conservative talk show hosts who seem to be on this sort of campaign to criticize him and attack him at every turn. I'm curious about why they hate him so much. And secondly, I'm also curious about why it is that the Republicans who are anti-war are voting for McCain. Exit poll after exit poll shows that the Republicans who are most concerned about the U.S. presence in Iraq are supporting McCain. I don't understand it.
Well, McCain is not an empty suit. There's something there. And a lot of the conservative activists don't like the fact that they can't push him around. They can't bully him. He is a man of his own opinions and his strong opinions and passionate about that. So he's going to be the moderate candidate. And that's what the conservative activists don't like. They've been pushing the whole country to the right, and they don't realize that the country has moved to the right. And so they're not so necessary anymore. And so I think, you know, with deference to the level that Obama gets, this is going to be about the middle, the new middle, and it's going to be Clinton and McCain. And people are going to have to decide issue by issue who they trust more. And I think everybody finds that on the war issues, certainly, they trust McCain's judgment. I mean, he's from military royalty, and he's got a firm commitment to the troops and to the American way. One more thing that the conservative activists don't like is that McCain is willing to do bipartisan legislation. He is not a strong armor on party line kind of thing. He will go and build a coalition, and he's notorious for doing so. And that's what the American people really have to say. If they want this divisiveness to end, they can take, you know, the promise, I promise to do this a new way that's never been done before, or you can look at McCain's record and say, yeah, he actually can do it.
Well, and another thing very quickly on
go
McCain
ahead,
and the rest of the candidates, Diversity Inc. magazine actually did a recent study on whose campaign staff is the most and least diverse. First of all, none of the Republican candidates even responded to the article, but it was found that
it's silly.
Senator McCain has,
of course it is.
Has two minority staffers. Mayor Giuliani had none. Romney had one. Huckabee has one. And so, you know, I think that, you know, when you start to look at these campaigns and how these candidates are trying to mold themselves, I think that they're going to try to mold themselves as part of the social fabric of America. And I think that, you know, what the Republican Party said with Super Tuesday was that we believe that John McCain represents closest that cross-section that we're looking for.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Jimmy Israel, Michael David Cobb Bowen, Arsalan Iftikhar, and Congressman Keith Ellison of Minnesota in the barbershop.
Check this out, though. Now that Mitt Romney's out of the race, you know, where are his supporters going to go? To Huckabee?
Stay home.
No,
they're going to
go to McCain.
They're going to opt out.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think Romney is doing what John Edwards is doing. They're trying to, you know, make their political value stretch as long as they can. And so I think that they're both going to wait to officially endorse someone. Again, like I said last week on the barbershop, I hope both of them don't wait too long before, you know, they become old news.
That's really a point well made. But what I want to know is, you know, we're dismissing Huckabee, but Can we dismiss him? Is he still a viable candidate, or is he just kind of a spoiler in the wings?
I think
somebody's talked to him.
I think he's McCain's running mate.
I think he's running for VP.
I think it's McCain
it's
Huckabee.
Possible.
McCain needs to reach out to the social conservatives, and Huckabee's perfect for that. I mean, we've seen in the history of our presidential elections, vice presidents many times are picked just for strategic purposes. And, you know, I think that a McCain-Huckabee ticket is sort of the Republican dream team ticket, where many people see an Obama-Clinton ticket on the Democratic side as being a dream team ticket.
As long as Obama's on the top.
That's why I said Obama first.
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of Obama supporters are looking at the Clinton campaign and saying, gee, I really underestimated the creepiness.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm with Michael on this.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure it's the dream team that, you know, maybe Hollywood thinks
winning,
so from a casting
right.
standpoint.
The
that's like
where
you, like, you cast a primetime TV show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that, I mean, if you think that Obama represents change, and if your argument is that, you know, Hillary Clinton is the status quo and we don't need more of this, why would you then link up with that whole apparatus?
Because liberals still do political strategy from time to time as well. You know, I mean,
well,
at the end of the day, Barack Obama needs to win.
How does Hillary Clinton help him win a general election?
Well,
who does she get
that
he doesn't get,
Michelle,
on his own as the Democrat?
Because here's
somebody
the thing, Michelle, you have a lot of older white women who are looking at this thing like, look, you know, what is the ultimate glass ceiling? The presidency.
Right.
And some of them are thinking, you know, I've fought for the ERA. I've fought for Roe v. Wade. This is my last chance to see a woman president. I'll live with a vice president.
Exactly.
She wouldn't be the first female vice president on the ticket.
She'd be the first one to really win.
To win.
I mean, this is a big deal. And, you know,
Geraldine Ferraro was sort of
a groundbreaking thing. But, you know, there's groundbreaking and then there's breaking the glass
ceiling.
Wait,
so you're suggesting what, that Republican women are going to cross party lines to vote for that ticket?
I think the Republican support is going to be attracted by Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Nobody asked me, but what I think
I'm
is...
I'm asking
a lot
you, Jimmy.
We
I
all
want to know.
We're all
hey,
asking,
well, check
we want to know.
There's a lot of election left for me, and I think it's too early to be prognosticating. That's what I think.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
I think we just got to wait and see. We're all witnessing history. So let's just sit back and enjoy the fight.
We wouldn't have jobs.
But no doubt, Michelle,
but Michelle,
no doubt, the Barack and Clinton camps have a lot of healing to do, and I think Mr. Bill Clinton needs to start with the overtures.
Yeah.
All right, well, check this out. You know what? 50 Cent is out there recommending Hillary Clinton for president. Now, mind you, he's a convicted felon, so he can't vote. But he says
well,
that,
now if he's off supervised release, he can vote.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, the 50 Cent vote. He says that Barack Obama will probably be shot if elected. Kobsky, I don't know what to say to that. You know what? You know what's interesting, though, that rappers have a weird history supporting candidates. You know, Eazy-E famously took a tour of the Bush White House, and Luda has come out for Obama, and Timbaland is also endorsing Hillary. What do you say, Kopsky?
Obama's not going to get shot. He's not afraid. I mean, unless he's going to Philly, I guess.
Oh, stop. But,
come on now.
But can I ask the congressman this? We went down to South Carolina in advance of the primary there. We've done some traveling for this election. We keep hearing this from people expressing concern about his safety. And I want to know what you make of that.
I can guarantee you that once you thrust yourself into that political crucible, your personal safety is a secondary consideration. You're trying to do a thing greater than you. I can guarantee you he's not worried about it. I think in order to set this country on the course of racial reconciliation and so many other great things his presidency would bring to us, I'm glad he's doing it, even though I know that in the back of his mind, somebody out there might want to harm him.
But do you feel, though, as an African-American political leader yourself, do you feel that you are at risk?
Well, people send me notes saying they'd like to see bad things happen. But, you know, I'm not worried about it. I don't give it a second thought. Because nobody.
I get the same kind of notes. I'm not in elected office.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, come on.
Wait a minute. Wait. It got death threats, too?
I'm the Muslim guy on television. Come on. After 9/11, you know, ignorant people will see you and automatically associate you with the other. And,
Michelle, they're going to box you up one day and you don't know when, so you live your life to the fullest until that happens.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank you for telling
Black
us.
Black Republicans
that.
Do. Yeah. We get threats.
Do you really, Michael?
Give me a break.
Well, Jimmy gets threats just because, you know.
Right. Most of those threats are from my ex-in-laws. And you know what?
Threatening to give you a haircut.
Right, exactly. And you know what? Just like Ron Paul probably said earlier in the week, looking at his numbers, gentlemen, I think that's a wrap. Thanks so much for coming to the barbershop. I got to kick it over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
Jimmy Israel joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida, where he's a freelance writer and reporter. Arsalan Iftikhar is a contributing editor for Islamica magazine and a civil rights attorney. He joined us from our studios here in Washington. Michael David Cobb Bowen is a blogger and founder of the Conservative Brotherhood. He joined us from NPR West. And Congressman Keith Ellison represents Minnesota's 5th District. He's a Democrat. He joined us from our studios in Washington. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us in the shop today.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yep, yep.